a ball and a pinball machine sometimes. With this man I'm about to introduce, you go, what kind of an analogy is that? We have bounced around the same bumpers for 20 or 25 years and never bounced into each other. But I've heard of this great man of God and his wife for many, many years. And I could introduce him as the assistant superintendent of the state of Arkansas, or the pastor of one of the greatest churches in the history of the Assemblies of God in Russellville, Arkansas. Or I can introduce him this way, and I'm going to do it because I was called last night by one of my closest friends on this earth, and he said, when you introduce him, would you do this for me? And I said, sure, I will. He said, this past week, my family and I endured a horrible tragedy with the death of a family member. And I had to go from Nashville to Russellville to preach a funeral. And my heart was broken over the funeral that I was preaching. But he said, this man and his wife, Pastor Ronnie Morris and Diane, took me and Sherry and my family, and they put their arms around us, and they loved us like a shepherd can love and like a pastor loves. And they've fed us a banquet, and they laughed with us, and they cried with us. And I will never forget the love and kindness. He said, Sam, you're in the presence of a great, great man of God and a great pastor. And that's from Dr. Johnny Minnick to you. I want to introduce to you tonight one of the great pastors, because there's no higher privilege, no higher position in my mind than being a good pastor. I want you to recognize first, Sister Diane, would you stand up? Sister Diane Morris, would you welcome her? And I want you to get involved, because the rest of the night, you've got to step in, pastor, here. I told Pastor Ronnie, I said, this is yours now. I'm a sponge that needs to soak up. Welcome Pastor Ronnie Morris as he comes to you. Give him a good welcome.
Well, I was about to look around and find out who he was talking about. I don't know that I've ever been introduced that well. Wow, what a privilege to be here with you tonight. Just to worship with you. I already feel like if I was looking for a church anywhere around here, this would be the place I would pick. This would be it right here. This is no doubt about it. And you can believe this, I'm not a liar. If I tell you that, that's exactly what I mean. Someone asked me this morning and said, I told them I was coming up here. I don't really usually tell my church. I preached last Sunday night out, this Sunday night, and next Sunday night I'll be preaching out, and they don't necessarily like that so much. And I'm glad they don't. But one of them asked me where I was going. I said, I'm going to Branson. He said, you know, I've tried to find a church up there, but I just hadn't found one. I said, well, I'm going tonight, and I'll come back and report to you. I'm glad I can tell them tonight. I can go back and tell them. I know that I have found a place where you can worship the Lord. I believe a church reflects its leadership. And wow, what a great pastor and wife you have. I was already told, we have been trying to get together for a long time, and Gerald and Carolyn have spoken very, very highly of you. I had the privilege of pastoring this couple, so they can tell you the real me, but I had the privilege of pastoring this couple, and Sister Hazel, man, what great people they are. And I'm glad they've got a great church here, and they speak very highly of you. And Gerald went with me to Romania, and we traveled the country over there and just had a great time. And but I like the U.S. of A., I can tell you. I do pastor a great bunch of folks. I'm blessed. Pastoring is my calling. I was in the district office for a little while, 3 years, that's all I could take. And because I'm a pastor. That's what I am. And when the El Dorado Church came open and they were looking for a pastor, I've submitted myself to the process. And I could tell you, I could stay here tonight and tell you a whole lot about what happened there. And then God called us to Russellville. I'm a revivalist by heart. I'm a pastor, but I'm a revivalist. That's just me. And I hope we get, you know, I hope we can stir up something in these United States. I pray for an awakening. God knows we need an awakening. And so tonight, I just want to preach, and I just want to encourage you. I came to the Sanctuary of Hope. What a deal. In the middle, I'm doing a series on hope, isn't God good that He let me come to the Sanctuary of Hope and be blessed by you folks? And this has been a phenomenal year. The most incredible year, I guess, of my ministry. I've been in ministry for over 30 years. I know I look very young, and I know it's hard to believe that. I'm premature gray. Okay, so don't even go there. January the 16th, early on in the year, the Lord really impressed upon me that we were going to have a move of God. Called a friend of mine, Dwayne Miller, Baptist background, Southern Baptist background. Just God turned him every way but loose, filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he came our way that night. I believe that night we baptized 32 people in water. By the time May came around, we had already baptized over 500 in water. A supernatural move of God. And I just want to tell you, God wants to move if we'll just let Him. And He wants to change people's lives. Can I tell you a couple of stories of what happened? I think it was January, I think it was the 31st. It was a Monday night, and our people do like you guys do. You just worship. You worship, and they piled into the altar. That night, they were, you couldn't step one side to the other. I mean, they were just there worshiping the Lord. And I noticed that there was an elderly couple that came to the altar, and I wondered, because they act like they hadn't been in church at all. And they were looking around and smiling. And they looked at a couple next to them, and they tapped the lady next to her as she was just, this lady was just praising the Lord, and she looked over at this elderly lady and she just started crying, turned around and started worshiping the Lord. And this couple's just looking around, and so I'm thinking, what's going on? Well, the lady that was praising the Lord that comes to our church all the time, she finally reached over to her husband, tapped him, and said, "Look here." Well, he looks over there, he starts crying, raises his hand, starts praising the Lord. I said, "I got to get over there." So, they're not doing anything. What help they are? You know, they're just crying. So I weave myself over there to them, and I went to Miss Drury first, and I said, "What are you here for?" She said, "I came to get saved." And so I led her in the sinner's prayer, and she got saved. I went to her husband, Junior, and I said, "Junior, what are you doing here?" And he said, I came to get saved. Right there, Junior got saved. You know how they got saved? You know, yeah, sir, you know how they got saved. You know how they come to get saved? The neighbor that was standing right next to them had lost a dog. And they went over to their house where they had heard the dog was. And while they were over there asking about that dog, they said, you know, there's some incredible things happening over at First Assembly of God. We'd like for y'all to come. And they came. And I guess they thought, this must be the altar call because everybody's in the altar. So it must be time to be saved. So they came up and they got saved. That night, I had the privilege of baptizing the Drurys in water. Hallelujah. What an awesome deal. I mean, we had them coming with multiple years of addictions. In fact, one night, a guy by the name of Birchie came and he was drunk. Sat on the second pew, he and his girlfriend sat on the second pew. She was a meth addict, came and got saved that night. And they're still serving the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to move with God so desperately. I want to move with God so desperately. We've got to have one. I want you to tonight to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 11. I just want to be a cheerleader tonight. It'll be all right. I just come to cheer you on. I have been doing a series of sermons out of 1 Samuel on Wednesday nights. And sometimes I come across something that I have to preach on Sunday mornings. And I tell you, chapter 7, not long ago, I preached from chapter 7. And I wanted to kind of preach there tonight. But I really feel more directed to chapter 11. It's not really going to be anything new. It's just want to encourage you. Just came by to encourage you. Pastor, thanks for letting me. I know you take a chance when you let somebody in your pulpit that you haven't heard or haven't been around, but thank you so much. I want to set the stage here. I love preaching. I love preaching if there's a word from the Lord. I love to preach. I love to preach from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so I want to preach this evening on this 11th chapter for a few moments. On this subject, there's the dawning of a new day. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. If you felt like by noon tomorrow, whatever difficult situation you were in, it would be okay, would that kind of encourage you a little bit? I mean, this is better than an infomercial. Are you listening? This is better than an infomercial, what I'm about to tell you tonight, because it's already been done in eternity past. It's a when the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, He's saying it is the year for God to act. I'm telling you, I believe it is the year for God to act. And I believe that tomorrow by noon, by the time the sun gets hot, you shall have help. Amen. Would you take that as a word from the Lord? Amen. Would anybody say, boy, I'd like to have that. I would like to have something different by tomorrow at noon. Woo, that's exactly what I want. Are you ready? Amen. Let me read verse number 9 here. And this is what it says. And they said to the messengers who came, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. How many knows that's a word from the Lord? Now, this hadn't even happened yet. It hadn't happened yet. It's just a word from the Lord. They said, by the time the sun gets hot, you shall have help. Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. It'd be all right if I come down and just preach right here. Would it be all right if I just make myself to home tonight? All right. Because I feel at home. Because I feel, listen, you, there's something in this place. You know, as they said, it's better felt than telt, all right? And I can do that as well. I can run and I can dance. I can shout. So if that scares anybody, I'm sorry already. But I can see right now, I don't believe anybody's scared in this place. I don't know what in the world we're thinking, that we're going to scare somebody in a Holy Ghost atmosphere. Where are you going to scare them to? Dante's Inferno? What? What level of hell are you going to scare them to? They've seen scarier stuff than this. Don't back up. Listen, I'm like Joel. I will never be ashamed. I will never, ever. I'm not compromising one iota. I believe. Listen, I've been under the spout where the glory's come out. I'm not ashamed. I've been there. Listen, I've tasted and I've seen the Lord is good. And when you really taste it and know that the Lord is good, you can't settle for anything less. Hallelujah. So, let me give you a background here. I mean, Israel was messed up. Israel was messed up. Serving idols, doing everything that they should not be doing. And they lost the glory. They lost the glory. You know, I wonder, there's churches, I'm going to meddle just a little bit here, but there are churches, I promise you, they wouldn't notice if the glory of God had ever left them. Right. They'd keep right on trucking, doing their thing, doing their programs, doing whatever. Listen, I want to tell you, we ought to be able to tell when the glory's gone. I tell you, if we don't have a pretty good service every now and then, I'm going to get in my prayer closet and say, what's the matter with me? If somebody don't get saved, I want to know what's going on. Israel had messed up. They lost the glory. But God, in His love and mercy, brought the glory back. Or at least brought the ark back. That was their spiritual relic. That's all it was. It was a relic. And you can read in chapter 7 where for 10 years, all they did was cry. So they wouldn't want to do anything about their sin. They just wanted to cry. They wanted to complain. They just wanted to bellyache about the mess that they were in. They didn't want to do anything. And then finally a man of God stood up and says, I'll tell you how you can have revival. And he said basically this. He said, return to me. And they said, sounds like a pretty simple thing to do. I believe we can do it. They turned and God gave them victory. Hallelujah. And it was on. I'm telling you, this old dead, dried up church that wasn't having a move of God, everybody got involved and a move of God was on. Things changed. And then they decided they wanted a king. Now listen, before you start hating on them, God had already prophesied in Deuteronomy 17, that's what they were going to do in the first place. They were going to ask for a king, and God was going to allow it. I know He told Samuel, He said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, and that's what they were doing. But listen, they were desperate for something to happen. Do you know that God can even take our bad decisions? I want to say this to somebody in this room right now. Are you listening to me? I want to say something to somebody in this room. You've made a decision, and it hadn't worked out so good. But I want to tell you, God, in His love and mercy, is about to take that decision, and He's going to turn it for good. He's going to turn the curse into a blessing. Glory to God. That ought to make you want to shout right there. When we mess it up, and I can mess it up better than anybody, but to know that God in His love and mercy says, I'm going to turn that thing around for good. And that's exactly what He did for them. He turned it around for good. Well, they got their king. And really one of the reasons they got their king is because they come under siege. Listen to me. Anytime you start making spiritual advancement, you can rest assured there is going to be a counterattack. And that's what brings us to this story tonight. And I just want to take a few things. I don't have it, you know, sometimes I have a few points and sometimes I'm pointless. If I could just get out with one point, it's good. Listen, he says here, they come to this place, verse number one, it says, then Naash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to Naash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. Now I want to get the picture here. Jabesh-Gilead was on the east side of Jordan. They were basically away from everybody else, all the people they depended on. They were down to just about nobody. Have you ever just kind of been down just to nothing? And the enemy comes and he's after you. And you think, I got nothing to fight him with. And you start trying to maybe compromise a little bit. Well, let me just tell you, don't ever compromise. Greater is he that's within you than he that is within the world. Here's Naash. Let me tell you, there is a real devil out there. And I know this is crazy preaching and some of the stuff that's out there and that's being preached from our pulpits, but I want to tell you there is a real devil and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to hammer on you and he wants to destroy you, but I've come to give you good news tonight. There ain't nothing like that going to happen for you as a child of the Most High God. You know, the only way that he can control you is for you to listen to his lies. He can't control you unless you buy into the stuff that he's talking about. Don't buy into it. Jabesh at first decided to buy into it. Why were they buying into it? Let me tell you why they bought into it. It's because that when it came time for war to go against the Benjamites, they refused to show up. They start going down the roll call. And they start calling Judah, here. They start, Nephilim, here. Levi, here. Jabesh. Jabesh. Didn't show. And so you can imagine when the enemy was coming in on them, they didn't think anybody's going to show up for them. But God does. There's a real devil. Listen, let me just show you how this works right here. Anybody want to venture to guess what Naash's name means in the Hebrew? Snake. Well, go figure. Snake. He was filled with the demonic. And he was after somebody that was weak. That's what he always does. He gets them out. He isolates them. Come on, somebody. He gets them out. He isolates them and starts hounding on them to the point they think, well, I can't help myself. And let me see how I can work this thing, how I can kind of work this thing so it's not so bad on me. And I tell you, he will not just take just a little bit. You may think he's going to take a little bit, but he'll take everything you've got. Serious business. We have an outstanding coach at Arkansas Tech University. He coaches the girls' team, a man of God, an absolute man of God. He comes into our sanctuary and he prays during the week. And we have music going on. Our intercessors, they want music going on, and so music is going 24/7 except for the time that we're in there. And he said while he was praying, he said he felt the enemy come in. And he says as he was praying, he said it was just like the music went off. And he said all he could hear out of the speakers was kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. He said I was in intense spiritual warfare. Now I know for some people that's crazy stuff, but it's not crazy. When you read the word of God, there's a real enemy and he wants to destroy us. He wants us to compromise. Listen to what he said. Listen to what Naash said. He said, and Naash the Ammonite answered, on this condition, we'll compromise, but I will make a covenant with you that I may put out your right eye and bring reproach to all of Israel. Put out your right eye. Now, I think all of us realize why he'd want to do that. Because that is what they took aim with. was their right eye. The left eye was covered, but they took aim with their right eye. But I like what the commentary says. Gill says this. He said, actually, what's being said here is that he is coming against the Word of God. The word, the right eye meant that the Word of God was the will of God. It was the Word. Oh, he's in trouble now. You can't forget the Word. The Word, the Bible says, how do we overcome the enemy? We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When he came at Jesus, Jesus said, every time he came at it, he said, it is written. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we can raise up a standard against him. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment we condemn, for this is the heritage of the saints of God, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. How do we fight him? We fight him with the word of God. What was he wanting to do? He wants to take the word of God out of you. And I want to tell you, listen, though you say, I've tried that word. Listen, allow the Spirit of God to make that thing revelation and rhema to you so that you can come against the enemy and win the battle over all power of the enemy. God has given us authority over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We're already victorious. I love that scripture over in Colossians 2:14. I use it. The Bible says, he says that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. The cross. Through the cross, he spoiled principalities and power. Through the cross, we have authority over all power of the enemy. Through the cross, we are victorious in the Lord. The Word of God. Then the Bible says here, the elders of Jabesh said, you know, I don't like that solution. And if you'll just give us 7 days, we will see if anybody will come and help us. That's what I'm talking about. Give God a little time to come through for you. And so the word was sent out. You can read it here. The word was sent out. Messengers went out, and they were telling the people all over Israel what was going on. But listen to this. And it says, when the people heard it, all in verse number 4, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. It looked like to me there's just one guy on the other side of Jordan. And it didn't look like that big a deal to me. But all they knew, just crying. Either God is who he says he is, or he's not. I choose to believe he's who he says he is. What he says, he can bring to pass. Here's what happened. The word came to Saul. He got word. He was out. You know, here he is. He said, Saul, he was coming behind the herd from the field and said, what troubles the people that they weep? And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. What's going on with the folks? What's the matter with them? He was just doing the ordinary thing. He's not been crowned king yet, but there's a king inside of him already. He's already got the anointing, just like David already had the anointing. He had the kingly anointing and just waiting for the opportunity. And he heard this stuff. Why are they weeping? I came by to tell you. The Bible says in this next verse, he says, then the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of God, came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and he had righteous indignation. What does he think he's doing? This is God's people. He can't be messing with God's people. Notice something. For you as a child of God, listen, do you understand tonight that you're a priest of God? You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That you are called out. You are separated. That God has called you as a kingdom of priests. And you have a calling, a high calling of God. And God has called you personally to do great exploits for Him. You know, well, I love Luke chapter 10 because it just speaks of all of us. Just a bunch of babies in Christ, and God says, go out and sick them. Go out there and get them. Go out there and deal with it. And they came back rejoicing. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Even the demons are subject to us through your name. Glory to God. And he said, listen, don't rejoice that your name, don't rejoice that you have authority over devils. Rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. I want to tell you, that's the important thing. But the important thing is when your name is written down in heaven, there's not anybody that's higher on the totem pole than you are. Can I tell you, you're a child of the Most High God, and God has given you authority to do great things for Him. Oh, there's a change coming. Do you know there's a change coming? Do you know you as a church, there's a new level that's about to take place? Do you know you're going to a new level? There's a transition. Do you know the thing that I have studied and found out in the book of 1 Samuel? It's a book about transition. And you're about to be transitioned. You're going for you. We think, man, we are really doing it. You haven't seen anything yet, honey. You're about to transcend to something that you have never, ever experienced in your life because you're going to see God do great exploits through you. Can I get a witness tonight? And I'm going to give you a word for it right now. Here's a great man of God already anointed. He just plowing. Hey, neighbor. He just plowing. Hey, how y'all doing? What? Really? Yeah. I don't like what I'm hearing. I got to do something about it. We can't wait on somebody else to do something about it. We got to do something ourselves. We can do something about it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's time to do something with these oxen and tell God it's time to transition from where I am into exactly what you want me to do. But we got to have a word from God. Can I tell you there's a word from God? Because there's a country in need of a great move of God. And it's going to be dependent upon churches just like the Sanctuary of Hope in Branson, Missouri that says, hey, I believe that we can be the one. I believe that we can be the church. I got a word from God. It's a transition moment. I can no longer remain as I am. I've got to move into something. I'm a child of the King. That makes me royalty tonight. That makes me to be able to stand up, hold my head up, and roll my arms back and say, God, use me in whatever fashion you want to use me. If you feel like you're the least among us, welcome to royalty. I heard a certain group, I'm not going to mention their names. I could, but I won't. But they think that when there's a certain moment when the Holy Ghost, when you get prayed for the Holy Ghost, you have a blood transfusion and you actually get Jewish blood. I want to tell you, the only blood transfusion I want to get is royal blood. Amen. That's the blood. I got the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's what I've got. What do you have tonight? It's the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. That's the family I'm a part of. Saul was called out. There was a transition moment. We hadn't got to the good part yet. I love the book. It said the Spirit of God came upon him. I got a word from the Lord, but I know it's not in my might, it's not in my power, but it's by the Spirit of Almighty God that I can do these things. I'm nothing. Listen, your pastor and I, we come from the same neck of the woods. We Kentucky boys. That's right. I knew there was something about him I liked. But I can tell you, ain't nothing. I've been blessed more than most people have been blessed. Ain't nothing. I should have failed the fifth grade. Should have failed it. I just had some merciful teachers that said, "We're gonna put you on the you're gonna put you in the sixth grade on trial." Honest to God, that's the truth. That is the truth. I'd never heard that before in my life, but they put me on the sixth grade. They put me in the sixth grade on trial. After 6 weeks, they evaluated me, and I made it. I knew I had to. I didn't want to stay in that school no more. Had a tragedy in my family when I was in junior high. Had an uncle that was going to the Assembly of God Church. We were in another denomination. They didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. In fact, they believed that it was of the devil. In fact, I never heard of the Holy Ghost. I never heard of the Holy Spirit until I came in the Assembly of God Church. My uncle was going to the Assembly of God Church. We had that tragedy. We started going to the Assembly of God Church. And God did some incredible things in my life. As a teenager, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. December the 3rd, 1971, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Boy, things changed at that point. It changed me. Because I didn't, you know, we weren't supposed to be doing that kind of stuff. But if that's not of God, then tell me, friend, what is it of? And especially when I got word to back it up. And then I committed, as a teenager, to reading this Bible through every year. So you still do it every year. It has revolutionized my life because I get the word from, I get a word from God when I read this book through. And he has allowed me to do some incredible things, not because of who I am, but because of the God who lives inside of me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and dwells in you tonight. So there is nothing impossible. Listen to what it says here. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Can you imagine what would happen if just the Pentecostal charismatic crowd would get baptized genuinely in the Holy Ghost? Not just a one-time experience, but to realize that it is an ever-continuing experience, being full of the Holy Spirit, and then allowing God and saying, "God, here I am. I am ready to be used by you. You use me for your glory." Here was a guy that was shy, and when they went to get to crown him king, he was hiding in the baggage. Where's Saul? He's hiding in the baggage. But when the Spirit of God came on this man, he was a completely different man. He was changed from the way he was to the way that God meant him to be. Can I tell you, when the Spirit of God comes on you, he changes you from where you are to what he has in store for you. Can I tell you, there's a spiritual dynamic inside of you that God wants to release. Don't feel ashamed and don't feel backward. There is a God who has great things in store for you to do for his glory. He gets mad. You know, we need to start getting a little righteous indignation about us. God is not looking for some little mamby-pamby, spineless, no-count sissies. Can I say that in here? God has called us to be strong. He's called us to be warriors. We are in a warfare. We're in the battle for these United States of America right now. Right now, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to go political on you here, but listen, no political individual is ever going to turn this thing around. There's only one way to turn this around, and for the church of the living God to rise up and say enough is enough and allow the righteous indignation to stir us to do something. You know, instead of
I better not go there.
He rises up. It doesn't take but just a few people to get things stirred up. Just get one. Just somebody. Just one somebody to get something stirred. Stir us up, God. I like old Haggai and Zechariah. They got stuff stirred. You boys are slowing down on us and building this wall and building this temple. Y'all need to get with it here. They're preaching. They just lay their ears back and preach. Come on, we got to have, listen, I'm thankful for pastors like your pastor. And when I came in here, I knew there was a course set. There was a church here that's prime ready to go to another level. There's a church ready to take the kingdom of God by storm. Righteous indignation. Let me try to get this thing wrapped up here. We're not to the good part yet. Look, he calls people to battle. He's calling people to battle. He's calling people to battle. And they gathered together over 300,000 strong. You know, we get this Elijah syndrome. Oh, God, I'm the only one serving you. We're the only church that's going. I'm the only one preaching this everlasting gospel. God said, hey, get up. Straighten up. I got a remnant all over this country that he's about to stir. Listen, I'm not discouraged about the church. God always has a church. He'll always have a church. He's always got a remnant. There's a people that's got the same heart that you have that are stirred, that God is stirring up. And when this thing is not going to, I wish I could tell you as far as the world's concerned, it's going to get a little bit better. I cannot tell you that it's going to get better. But here's what I do believe. You better get out a few more chairs on the back row, because when this thing starts going somewhere, they're going to find, oh, I want to tell you, they're going to look for a church. They're going to look for the sanctuary of hope. They're going to say, where's that church that preaches the unadulterated gospel? Where's that church that believes what they preach? Where's that church that's out there doing it? They're going to find their way right here, because I want to tell you, there's going to be a move on in the coming days. Get ready. I mean, prepare for it. Prepare for it. He calls them all together. And he says in verse 9, and they said, to the messengers, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, those rascals over there, those people don't deserve it. God don't look at, listen, God is not looking at all your trouble. He is looking at your heart. He says to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. And then the messengers came and reported to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. You know, you ever try to encourage folks and they just didn't get very encouraged about it? Okay, Pastor. I'm trying to believe, Pastor. I'm trying. I mean, it wasn't even Saul that came to him. It's just a bunch of messengers that came to him. It was messengers that came to him. It wasn't just the king. It was the messengers who were excited enough. I'm just a messenger. I've came by to tell you tonight that by the time the sun gets hot tomorrow, you shall have help. I just came by to tell you I got a message from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm conveying a message to you. God is about to do something miraculous in your life. I'm sorry, I need to be a little more dignified. I'm getting a little carried away here. I don't want to make my folks over there ashamed. I'll throw my coat on somebody, I tell you. Oh, what a God. I just came by to tell you. Josephus says, listen to this. Josephus says, it was the third day. Not just any old tomorrow. But it was the third day. It was the same third day that Abraham, when he left and took his son Isaac, it was the same third day that he said, he looked at that yonder mountain and says, you guys stay right here. Me and my son are going to worship and we're going to come back. 3 days later, 3 days. I want to tell you, it's not happenstance that is there. I can find it throughout the book. I can go to Joseph and I can show you that it was the third day that he talked about when he told them about their dreams. It was 3 days later. One's head was taken off and the other, he was able to be the man that was right there, the cupbearer again. I can take you over there to Esther. And it was Esther after they fasted for 3 days that she went before the king and saved the people. But the greatest thing of all is that on that Easter Sunday morning when the sun came up, can I tell you, the sun had awakened and Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And from that day on, we can declare it in the name of Jesus that on this day, because of that day, we shall have help. There is help. There is hope. There is security. There is deliverance. There's healing. There is provision for you because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hey! I just have to shout every now and then because it's a shout of victory. The shout of victory. I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. I don't know if you've been isolated and you feel like there's nothing. Can I tell you, be glad. Your pastor brings a word from the Lord every week. Be glad. The messengers came and they were glad. Because they had a word from God. They knew it was a word from the Lord. And they knew what God had said he would bring to pass. And sure enough, by the next day, the Lord had absolutely defeated and destroyed the enemy. If God is for us, then tell me who can be against us. I love to worship the Lord. That's why I enjoyed this. I'm telling you, I felt right at home tonight. I love to worship with you guys. I'm going to close with this. I don't know if any of you, this may be a little too worldly for you, but it brings a great point. In the Little League World Series, I don't know if you watched any of that. You couldn't help but watch it. It was on all the time. There was a team from Aruba. They made it to the World Series. And they were playing Chinese Taipei. And they were getting thumped. They were getting drilled. When they came in, it was 16-0. They came to the dugout. There were 16-0. Every one of them was crying. Jabesh. All of Israel just crying, boo-hooing. One of the young men was the son of the coach. And he told the little boy, he said, come here. He said, you want to do this crying or you want to do this happily? It's your choice. He said, I'm going to do it happily. Dried his eyes. Still getting drilled. Goes up, hits the ball, makes an out. They go to the outfield. They score 3 more runs on them. It's 19-0. And they watch the cameras get on this little boy. And forgive my dancing, but here's what he was doing. He wasn't crying anymore. I mean, he was going, he was dipping, and he was having the grandest. They were getting drilled. And he was just dancing. The camera that focused on them. When he came in, the reporter asked him, said, What are you doing? You got beat. I think they finally got beat 20 to nothing. He said, what are you doing? He said, my daddy told me to have fun. And that's exactly what I'm doing. By the way, the next game they went out and played, they won it. And I'm telling you, your daddy says to have fun. He's got it all under control. And it's time for you to start acting like it. There's a world out there that's desperate to watch, that wants you to act like it. Be glad. You have a word from God. Tomorrow, by the time the sun gets hot, you shall have help. Woo-hoo! That's why Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me. And he said, go out and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I like the way the Message Bible puts it. He says, go tell them that it's the year for God to act. Stand with me, because I'm closing. Okay, I'm done.